Carol, thank you very much for your time, first of all, because I know you are busy and, you know.
No worries.
So your new book, The Quest, Pohod in Serbian. What can you tell me about it? Why have you decided to write about Novak, not about Federer, not about Nadal, not about Mari?
But I like this story of, you know, running after some, chasing something for a decade. And I've seen all the finals he lost at the French Open, and I knew all the story. And for me, you know, finally winning at the end, it was kind of a success story. And it came with this crazy season of winning 4 Grand Slams in a row on 2 seasons, but still 4 in a row. So it was like a bit of a movie. And at first, it was supposed to be a feature because I met people, everything, it was ready. Then he got injured, Novak got injured in, he lost in Wimbledon, then got injured in Rio. Then things started to not really click, and the end of the season was more Andy and him fighting for the number one. And I had so much material, I'm like, what am I doing? I'm like, you know what? It'd be a great book. I'm a bit crazy. So I'm like, okay, let's go for a book. And I asked him, what do you think about that? Are you okay to, you know, give an interview? And quickly he said, yeah, no worries, I'll do it. What do you need? And so he gave me interviews. I got to talk to his team. I got to talk to Boris Becker. And it went easy, I have to say. It was a really nice adventure.
So would you say he's approachable, like a person?
Oh, yeah.
And talking about everything?
I would say so. I think that's someone you can just sit down and have a chat about culture, tennis, the world, whatever. I mean, those guys are solicited all year long, so they can't talk every day with everybody. When you have the chance, interviews, or that's one of the guys that it's nice to talk with, because you can talk about many other things than tennis. He is such a smart person with opinions on a lot of things, so that's always interesting.
How many interviews have you had with Novak?
I talked to him, I talked to him before the French Open once, and I talked to him in Melbourne the year after. So about that book, and I talked to his team for 1 hour each, I think I would say. I talked to also one of his first coaches, Pilic. So many people, Darren Cahill, so many people that are around, because I wanted an inside look. You know, it's to show people how it was from inside winning that title, that it's not easy winning the French Open title after having failed so many times. So that was really that, just driving people day by day, even the months before, the weeks before, of how you deal with this kind of situation.
So can you give us a taste of the book, like points of, I can't say talk, but points of thinking in the book, like what are the main points?
What are the main points? That I think what I liked is that they didn't play the superheroes. They didn't tell me, oh, it was easy, we did this. No, they said it was a nightmare, it was tough. Novak said I was stressed out, I needed to fight so many demons. So the honesty about how hard it was, and also the little, like what happened between Novak and Boris in this first round played on 2 days, where they had to argue a bit backstage to put Novak back in the match, or the slight injuries he had to fight through. Also what the coaches of other players are thinking about him, which is really interesting. The fitness trainers also that are explaining why his game is so good, why his body is so good for winning those big titles, that it's nothing is a coincidence. The rivals, like I talked to Stan Wawrinka about Novak, there's a nice moment where Stan explained that, you know, the final he won against Novak the year before, he said, after the match point, my first thought was for Novak. Like, he was a bit sad for him that he lost. And that was really moving, because those guys, they want to win. So yeah, different views on even psychologists, you know, the whole, because Novak is a bit big fan of, you know, meditation, working on your mind, and I talked to somebody who is really into it and can explain why it works and why you need that. So it's a bit of a, you get into his brain a little bit, and into the brain of all the people that were working with him, Marianne Vajda, all the, you know, the physios, people that were never talking. So if you want to know exactly how it is from inside, you can to read that book.
So have you got it?
I hope so. I mean, I've searched as far as I could, and they've been, as I said, really honest with everything. So I think I have the clearer view of how it happened. Obviously they have their own, you know, personal story about it, but I tried my best to explain to people from inside how you Because when you've been chasing against something for so long, it's not the same as arriving first year and winning it. When you've been chasing for it for 10 years, you have to forget all the bad memories. When he was up, I don't know, 4-5-2 in the fourth, and it seems, okay, he has won. And no, because, oh my God, it's happening. And then he gets broken back, and the fear is coming back. And that's all those little inside battles that are interesting to tell, I think.
It's about research. You've been researching for how many years? 4 years.
No, because it's the book is about this French Open that he won and the months before and what happened after. It was really that the quest, that his quest to win the French Open. And when I tell the story of this French Open 2016, through this you can go through the matches he lost there, the rivalries with Rafa and Novak. You can go through many topics by using those 2 weeks.
So practically it's not a lot of time, but still you had a chance to talk to him, to talk to people around him, to his opponents as well.
Exactly.
So do you have different opinion of him now as a person than you had, let's say, before a year or two?
I wouldn't say so, but I've known Novak for, I've been working around Novak for a long time because of my job, so that's somebody I figured out a long time that, you know, he has several layers of, you have funny Novak, angry Novak, super focused Novak, but he's not hiding a lot of things. So if you pay attention, one thing I'm happy about it is that I think I wasn't wrong. Like finishing that book and having talked to everybody, I was like, okay, I was right. I knew who he was, kind of, you can't know everything because they have public persona, private persona, but no, I have the same opinion of him now that I had before, that somebody that is ultimate perfectionist, a professional, that I think he brought that to the game, this mental work he did on himself, the curiosity on the world, that tennis is really a game for him. Like, and that's also, that's why he ended winning the French Open, because it stopped being so life and death kind of thing. Like, I need to win the French Open. Once he got it, okay, if it doesn't happen, I'm still happy. That became easier for him to play.
Yeah. Do you think he has lost a bit of the motive after winning 4 Grand Slams in a row?
I think he woke up one day, for the first time in his life, thinking, What am I going to do next? What is the next challenge? When you've won everything, what is the next challenge? And it never happened to him, so maybe that was weird. Then injuries came, and then everything starts to click the other way. And until you notice, you're just struggling, whereas before you were winning without even thinking about it. So I think it was kind of a crossroad for him. Like, okay, now I need to find other motivation, new challenges. And it took him a bit of time. I think he's completely back. I think his mind is completely back to tennis. His game is there. He just needs to fix that elbow now.
Yeah, absolutely, I agree. Also, what about his opponents? You have obviously talked to them. So what is your impression, what they think about Novak?
Well, those I've talked to were... I have extreme respect for the champion he has become, how hard he worked. I even talked to Maria Sharapova, who told me when I remember him young and I see him now, I mean, the amount of work he did and the amount of, I look at myself in the mirror and, okay, these are my flaws and I'm going to fix it. So it's more like, yeah, respect. And David Goffin was like, I have no idea how he does it because I've reached the quarterfinal and it's so hard. And thinking, okay, three more matches to win and then you do it like 4 times a season or on 2 seasons, I have no idea. He's out of this world. So it's both respect, admiration, and just appreciating the fact that they have the chance to be there and watch what he does. For sure, you have people that like you more than others, but I think he gains this respect across the whole world.
I was reading through the preface of the book, and I remember the sentence that you said, like, he is the first player after 47 years who won 4 Grand Slams, and still underneath I can actually read that you might think that he's not acknowledged enough.
Well, if you look at the history of the game, only two players did that, and only one other did the 4 slams on 2 years. So that's massive. That's one of the biggest achievements that you could do. Issue is, he has come after Rafa Nadal and Roger Federer. So maybe it's tough for people to think Djokovic did something that neither of them did, and you have to acknowledge it. It's not easy because the mindset says that those two, they are the greatest of all time, but still you have the numbers that say, well, you know, actually, Djokovic is in the mix. So I think he had the recognition because people love him. The people in tennis, they know how good he is. You see the results. What he did was amazing. But he has to share this cake with still Rafa and Roger. So that's tough to find your footing and the biggest space when you have those two monsters of the game that are basically not the same generation but happen to be there the same time. So I think he did well because now it's in the conversation. Now when you say people are like McEnroe or even Rod Laver, they list the guys who are in for the title of greatest tennis player of all time, is top five, top three, is there, and it wasn't easy when you arrive at the same time as Rafa and Roger and you end being at the same level and being talked about as often as them. That for me it's also a big victory because he made both of them have to take care of him, and he found a way to be that good despite both of them. Imagine if both of them weren't there. And Rafa might be telling the same about Novak. Like, imagine if Novak hadn't been there, would have won much more. But he still found a way to matter in this era and to be at some point maybe the best, much better player than those two. It's amazing.
So do you think everyone needs some more time? And then from that time distance, maybe they will learn to appreciate more what he has done.
Yeah, I think so. I think they appreciate. I just don't think they realize how huge it is because he made it so easy. Like Rafa made it so easy. Like Roger made it so easy. So for people, it's like, yes, they're both amazing. The three of them are amazing. We have lost a bit the reality of how huge what those guys are doing is. So I think at the end of his career, maybe after his career, people will look at the numbers and they will say, wow, actually, what Djokovic did. But you see it now with the younger generation. Somebody like Chung saying, I built my game regarding Djokovic. He was my idol. You can see now the young generation of players coming in saying, my idol was Novak. I wanted to play like Novak. And you are going to see like more and more. 10-year-old kid, 12-year-old, saying, oh, I was watching his matches, I wanted to be like Djokovic. He created a mold, and that's huge.
So we might expect a book like titled Novak Interview?
Well, actually, but I mean, there are many interviews in that book because I talked to Novak many times before, so I had so much material, but I think he has his own projects and he has so many stories to tell. But this generation is really interesting to me. This old Big Four era is really fascinating because it never happened to have four guys that good at the same time. It's never heard of.
In your book, is there a message?
I would say, well, actually, no, the message that Novak gave it when he won that French Open is just don't give up. At some point, if you keep believing, if you don't freak out, if you go back to work and you just keep that belief that it's going to happen, it's going to happen. Don't listen to people that, because people were telling Novak, no, but forget it. He lost three times in the final of the French. It's never going to happen. Just don't listen to those people. If you want to do it, give your all. At some point, it's going to happen.
Always hang on your dreams.
Hang on your dreams. What can happen? Just believe it. If it doesn't happen, it's not a question of life and death. It's sports or whatever. But at least you've tried your hardest, and just put your heart on it. Don't give up. And at some point, maybe it will happen.
I would like to ask you: have you had the chance to have a chat with Novak now? And does he know your book is out?
Oh, he knows, because actually the book was out in English last April, in French in May, and we did pictures for promotion. He signed some books. I know he read it. His wife read it, and it's also out now in Serbian. So he knows he's fine with the book. Relief. No issue with that.
You have a big tick from Novak.
Oh, yeah, no, I mean, I think he liked it, so it's always better when the guy you're working, you've bought the book on, at least appreciate the work you did. So, no, I think he and his team were happy to see that maybe someone was wanting to tell that story in a non-fiction way, really, like, just, it's not a biography, it's not about his personal life or whatever, it's just about this achievement, this part of his career, and I think French Open has always been really important for him, so I think he's happy to see it out there.
Yeah, and also because we are broadcasting in this interview in Serbian program, for our listeners, we just would like to let them know that book is released in Serbian, isn't it?
Yeah, it is released in Serbian, either now or in 10 days, but they can pre-order it or whatever. It's on the Vulcani Edition website, and it's called Pohod.
Pohod,
as you said, so voila for buying it. I think it was important that it ended being in Serbian so they can read that story of somebody who is an icon in their country. I hope they're going to like it. And maybe I'll go in Serbia one day to just see it in life and in a shop or something.
That's fantastic. Carol, in the end, I would like to ask you to say a few words about yourself, just to introduce yourself to our listeners.
So I've been a tennis reporter for 13 years now, something like this. I was working at L'Equipe as a staff writer. It's a national French sports newspaper. Then in 2014, I left to be my own boss. So I'm writing for print magazine, French but international too. I'm doing radio. I'm doing a lot of things. That's why I could make the book. So I'm traveling the season all year long, hoping to tell nice stories about the yellow ball.
You also have your blog as well.
I have a blog, Yellow Blog Corner. I have a Patreon page with exclusive tennis content and some subscription model for people. And you can find me on Twitter too.
Fantastic. Carol, thank you very much for your time.
Thanks to you for coming to me and being interested in that book.
All the luck.
Thank you.